He has his radio broadcasts on there, and you know, it's just lots of good information, including his bio. Okay, let's see. We will start probably at 7:05 at the latest on a weekly basis. You know, there's booklets for sale, $10. It's well worth it. So we are going to break at about 7:45 for refreshments. I think we're on this side for refreshments. And just a quick 10 to 15 minute break. And no food or drinks in the sanctuary unless it's in a secured cup. Okay? And if you have to run to the restrooms, you can go through this door. And restrooms are just when you enter this door. All right? Any questions? Anything else? All right, let's get going. Thank you, Pat.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you all for coming. I'm Pat Zuckerman. I'm the Executive Director of Evidence and Answers. So everything that we're covering for the next 8 sessions, you can go to evidenceandanswers.org and find articles, as long and also radio show interviews. Okay, I got a radio show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. So maybe on your way here, you can listen on KGU, where I get to interview some of the top scholars from all over the world on all kinds of issues, and also seminars I've done and debates I've had with some of the most popular atheists out there. You can go to evidenceandanswers.org and listen. So on the topics, all that we're going to cover, we have shows on this, whether I do it or I'm interviewing someone on it. Okay? So that's our radio show and our website there. And every Thursday, I am on live on Duke Iona's radio show, 808 State Update. I am the Thursday host for Duke. So that's why I'm usually running in here right about 6:45, 7 o'clock. I'll be running in here. I'm coming from downtown Honolulu, where I'm on his show. So you can call in and ask your question today. We were talking about the rail and President Trump's UN speech. And we ended up getting tons of phone calls on North Korea. So anyway, those are some of the things you can call and talk to us about. But that's a live 2-hour call-in talk show, okay? And coming this Friday, so that's next week Friday, is our annual celebration banquet. So come join us if you haven't signed up. It's at the Honolulu Country Club. So if you know Honolulu Country Club, fantastic food and a fantastic facility. It's our second annual fundraiser there and celebration banquet. So Duke Iona will be there, and I'll be speaking as well. But Naho Aloha will be providing the music. Naho Aloha, as you know, Stan Miyamoto and his son are on that band as well. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. So sign up at Evidence. Oh, thank you. At evidenceandanswers.org. Boy, after 2 hours of radio, man. Sign up at evidenceandanswers.org or give me a call or just talk to me tonight and say I want to go, okay? It's going to be a whole lot of fun. All right. Stephen Lathrop Lee will be there. Where is he? Oh, he's not here. Okay. Oh, he's on the mainland. But he will be here. He's coming back just for this. So there'll be a lot of people that you know there at the banquet. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So join us there, okay? All right. Well, as we begin our series then, let's open in prayer together. Thank you, Lord, for each one who is here that desires to learn about truth, learn your word, learn how to engage the great ideas of the culture. And with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray for open minds, open hearts, as we engage on this topic, a bedrock of our faith, truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, every organized Christian ministry has to do 3 things well. Number one, you got to be able to proclaim truth. Okay? Proclaim it in a way it's compelling and relevant, in a way that the culture around you is going to listen. All right? Second, you need to defend that message of truth. Okay? If you're going to come out and say, Jesus is the only way to eternal life, you say Jesus died and rose again from the grave, is your message going to be challenged in an unbelieving world? Absolutely. So you've got to be able to defend that message you proclaim. And then third, you've got to live out that message, all right? Not perfectly, but consistently in a way that the world cannot ignore. Okay? And because Jesus said in John 13, they will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Okay, so you got to be able to do all three of those. Now, the modern church has focused on number one and number three to the neglect of number two. And we have been paying the price for decades now. But every ministry has got to be able to do all three. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. We demolish, okay, all strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ, and we take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Okay, we demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. Okay, what Paul is talking about here is he's giving you the image of a castle, and you go before you can go in and take captives in the castle, you have to destroy the walls, okay, that protect that castle. Okay, and that's the same picture of the mind here. Okay? Before you can take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, you have to demolish the walls that protect that mind from the gospel of Christ. What are those walls that keep people from seriously considering the message of the gospel of Christ? Well, those are the false ideas of the culture, all right? The false ideas of the culture that blockade people from seriously considering the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Often you have to demolish those strongholds before people will seriously consider the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's one of the things that you have to do. Paul says we've got to demolish those strongholds. Now, there are many false ideas of the culture today that keep people from seriously considering the message of Jesus Christ, or either dismissing it right away or not understanding the message of the gospel. And one of them we're going to consider tonight is truth. Okay, relativism. It's one of the ideas that dominate our culture today. And it's one of the most dangerous, all right? A society that buys in to the modern definition of truth has really swallowed its own poison, all right? And really is bringing destruction upon itself, right? And when we talk about the new tolerance next week, you'll see the destructive effects when you buy into false ideas, okay? Romans 1 talks about that, right? The stages of the decline of every civilization from the beginning until now, right? Where does it begin? Well, Romans 1:18, they turn away from God, the source of truth, all right? Once they turn away from God, then what happens? They embrace false ideas. Okay, then what happens when they embrace false ideas? It leads to moral depravity. And then the final stage, God turns them over to a depraved mind. God gives the society over, and they meet its destruction. Okay, and you look throughout church history, whether you want to study Toynbee's destruction of a nation, you want to follow Jim Nelson Black, okay, when nations die, whatever you want to do, they follow that same pattern Paul outlines in Romans chapter 1. So a culture or nation buying into false ideas really drinks its own poison and suffers its own destruction. Okay, and we can walk you through empire after empire after empire who have gone through this process. And unfortunately, the U.S. is going right through the same process in a very dangerous state right now. For those of you that were at the Evidence and Answers Conference two years ago, Oz Guinness was our speaker, and he said, this is the crunch generation. This is the generation that will decide the fate of Western culture from here on out. And if this generation answers the questions correctly and meets the challenge, we can expect a free and prosperous society to continue. If not, then this is the generation that brings it to an end. Okay? So this is one of the great ideologies that we have to address today and answer. And that is, what is the definition of truth? Okay? Now, there are two understandings of truth today. Is truth absolute or is truth relative? Okay? Those are the two definitions of truth today. Christianity is built on the idea is that truth is absolute. The vast majority of the culture, including the Christian church, believes that truth is relative. Okay, so the vast majority of the culture has swung to the idea that truth is relative. You go on any university campus, 90% of the people there will tell you truth is relative. Okay? How many times do I have to speak at university campuses and everyone's saying, there's no such thing as truth. Truth doesn't exist. No such thing as truth. Truth doesn't, no, you know, almost every campus, okay? Every campus around the country. And now I just came back from Asia. Now among Asia, this is creeping in to Asia, all right? Now, what do we mean by absolute truth? Absolute truth is truth that is true for all people, in all places, at all times. Okay? That's what we mean by absolute truth. It's true 100 years ago, it's true today. It's true in China, it's true in the United States. Okay? So that's what we mean by absolute truth. The definition of truth is this: truth is what corresponds to reality. That's the definition of truth. Okay? Truth is what corresponds to reality. It's seeing the world as it really is, okay? This table is brown, okay? It corresponds to reality, okay? This stand is black. So truth is what corresponds to reality. That's the definition of truth, all right? And as Christians, we say truth originates from God, and so truth, the more you can see through the eyes of God, okay, the more it will be true, okay? All right, so truth is correspondence to reality, okay? Relative truth means it's true for some people, but not all people. It's true in some places, but not all places. True at some times, not at all times, okay? Okay, so true, and a phrase you may often hear, true for you, but not for me, all right? Or that's your perception of reality, okay? Okay, so the vast majority, the vast 90% of the people, of the young people in the culture today hold to this definition of truth. All right, that absolute truth does not exist. Okay, now, that's a video. That's a video we did for a TV show. We went around several university campuses and interviewed students, Christian, non-Christian. And you can hear them all wax eloquently about how truth does not exist. Okay? Now, how did we get here? How did we go from there's such thing as truth and we can find it Two, there's no such thing as truth. All right? There's no such thing as absolute truth. How in the world did we get here? Well, we had a worldview shift in Western culture. All right? Western culture, of course, was once dominated by the theistic worldview. The majority of Western culture believe that a God does exist. Okay? And therefore, truth is rooted in God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the source of truth. Truth originates with God. Beings made in the image of God are designed to know and to live according to that truth. And one day we're all going to be held accountable, okay, to the truth, to God's truth. All right, and that's the measure by which we will be judged. How did we respond to the truth that God has revealed to us? Okay, so we're designed to know truth and to live according to truth. And beings made in the image of God are designed to discover, okay, and live according to truth. All right, but truth finds its origin in God. Okay, so for centuries, Western culture was dominated by the theistic worldview that there is a God who exists, who is the source of truth and has revealed truth to us and has designed us to discover and know truth and to live according to that truth. Okay? Now, in recent times, the worldview have shifted from the worldview of theism to naturalism or atheism. Okay? Your educational system, right? Dewey's reforms in your educational system now is built on the worldview of naturalism. So you're inundated with a naturalist worldview. Okay? That the naturalist worldview basically says that the physical universe is all that there is. There's no God. Life originates by chance. The universe is here by chance as a result of natural causes. Okay? There is no God. There's no life after death. There's no soul that goes to heaven or hell. All right? This is the naturalist worldview that dominates our education, and you're steeped in it, okay, for all the years of your public education. Okay? As a result, there was a huge shift that occurred in Western culture, and we went from the theistic view to the worldview of naturalism. Now, if God does not exist, then where does truth originate? Where does it originate if God does not exist? Well, then it originates with man. Okay, now, is man all-knowing, all-infinite in knowledge and understanding? Absolutely not. Okay? Can man know everything about reality? No. All right? We know that even through great scientific study, we can be wrong about reality and the world around us. Therefore, truth then is defined by the individual or the culture. Okay? The culture or the individual determines what is true. Okay? And we end up concluding what? That truth is relative. True for me, but not for you. Okay? And it goes all the way down. If you can't know truth, then you end up with moral relativity, right? Is homosexuality a sin? Well, maybe for you it is, but not for me. Who's to say? On what basis? Is ISIS wrong in their ideology? That's their culture. Who are you to judge their culture? So the Quran says, right? Find unbelievers, smite their necks, cut off their fingertips, right? So are they wrong? Based on what? You don't like it? Well, too bad. They like it. Okay, on what basis can you say someone's values or cultures or ideologies is wrong? Absolute truth does not exist. Okay? So it just becomes what? Your opinion over mine. Okay? it leads to all kinds of dangerous ideologies, all right, of which we are suffering the consequences too. I remember 9/11, man. 9/11 happened, and that night I was at the University of Texas at Austin, and the leader of the largest Christian ministry went on stage and he said, you know, who's to say who's wrong here? I mean, for these Muslims, they believe they are crusading a righteous cause. And we think they're not. And who's to say who's right or wrong? Let's pray. And that was the message. You know, in front of hundreds of Christian students, the Christian leaders sitting there going, oh, who's right, who's wrong? We don't know. That culture determines truth. Okay, your culture determines truth. Okay, why is homosexuality wrong? Well, because you're Christians. All right? Go outside the Christian circle, it's fine. Who's to say? Okay? Truth is determined by the individual or the culture. All right? So it went like this. We went from a shift from theism, there is a God who exists, and God is the source of all truth. He created creatures in his image to know and discover and to live according to truth. Okay? Through the ideologies that develop, the church was not prepared to meet the ideologies that came from the Enlightenment. All right? Darwinism, that said life, the origin and diversity of life is the result of natural causes. No intelligent creator. Okay? If there's no intelligent creator, then man is the measure of all things. Right? And then Marx came around and said, well, if there is no God, it's society that creates man, and therefore we need to create an all-equal society, a classless society. He gave us an economic system without God. And Freud came around, gave us psychology, a human understanding of human nature without God, right? You just go right down the line. Wellhausen, who said, well, if there is no active God in the universe, then the Bible is simply a book of literature, and he gave us a biblical interpretation without God, and on and on. And then Dewey comes along with his reforms and says, well, we need to get God out of the classroom, okay, and build an educational system that was socialist, okay? It took God out of the classroom. That's why you get, right, Obama, Bernie Sanders, you get all of this coming out of our public educational system, okay? So once that shift was made, then if truth does not originate with God, where does truth find its source? You're going to have to end up saying truth finds its source in man. So the debate of truth comes down to your worldview. Okay, that's why often in apologetics we start with worldview. That's why belief in God is so important. Okay, that's why we battle for belief in God. If God exists, then truth finds its source in God. And if God is the source of truth, truth is knowable, it's absolute, it's universal. If God does not exist, truth finds its origin in man, and man creates truth, and thus truth is going to be relative. Okay, so your worldview makes all the difference in the world. All right, that's why when you're engaging a lost world, you have to start with belief. You have to start with worldview and belief in God, okay? Because that's where it all begins. All right, any questions on that so far? Okay, good. So where does truth find its origin? So we shifted from truth being rooted in God to truth being rooted in man, and eventually, you're going to have to conclude then truth is relative. That's inevitable once you take God out of the picture. All right? So what is the nature of relative truth? Well, relative truth is built on the worldview of naturalism then, that God does not exist. Truth then originates not with God, but with man. Okay? And man creates truth. Truth is created by the individual. We don't discover truth. We create truth. Okay? Big difference there. We do not discover truth, we create it. All right? What is this in front of me? I think it's a white chair. Okay? Well, you perceive it as a table. Well, I perceive it as a white chair. How do you know you're right? How do I know I'm right? Well, nobody knows. Therefore, truth is relevant. It's your opinion, my opinion. Nobody can say what is true. Okay? That's what it comes down to. Or is truth discovered? Do I discover truth and I conform to the truth that's out here? Or is truth in here and I create truth? Okay? Modern philosophy today teaches truth is in here. I create it. Okay? And the world conforms to my reality. All right? Christian philosophy teaches truth is out here and we discover it. And we conform and change our thinking to the truth that's out here. All right? But modern philosophy teaches truth is here. Okay? So I was with a UH professor and we were talking about truth. And I said, truth is what corresponds to reality. Truth is outside of us. We discover it and we conform to it. Okay? And she said, no, you don't know what reality is. Nobody can know what reality is. I said, really? I said, so when you come to a red stop sign, what do? She goes, I stop. I said, well, why? I said, the hundreds of people behind you, what do? She goes, they stop. I said, so you can't know reality? They're all stopping. And she said, well, what if you're blind? And I said, then if you're blind, does that make it no longer a red stoplight? Because you're blind? You know, I mean, so she was trying to get to the point that, you know, it's we all create our truth. Okay, since truth is invented, there's no universal truth. Okay, if there's no universal truth, if truth is not absolute, then truth changes. Okay, truth changes. Was homosexuality wrong behavior? Well, maybe 50 years ago, but not today. Not in our culture today, because culture or the individual defines truth. Okay, so maybe 50 years ago, but not today, okay? One's belief can change the truth. I believed it was a sin 50 years ago, but I've changed, and now it's true that it's no longer a sin, okay? One's attitudes can affect the truth, okay? Language is created by man, it's flawed, and therefore it cannot communicate truth, right? When I say father, what do you think about? Okay, I might be thinking about an abusive guy that drank alcohol and beat me up all the time. You might be thinking of a loving man who went out there, worked hard for you, and provided for his family. You might be thinking of someone who was never there. Okay? So when I say father, what do I mean? You. My definition? Your definition. What do I mean by father? Okay? So see how imprecise language is? Therefore, language cannot even communicate truth. Therefore, we end up with the conclusion, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Okay? So since each person cannot know true reality, each person's perception is different, no one can have the truth. Okay? Now, that has impacted the church significantly. All right, this is now the ideology that dominates, okay, even Christian, the Christian world today. Okay, amongst youth, okay, 25 and under, in 91, a little bit over than 50% said there's no such thing as absolute truth. Okay, that grew in 94 to over 60%. In 99 to 80%. Now in 2000, it's over 90% that says there's no such thing as truth. Okay, so when the pastor is up here speaking about the truth of God's word, the truth of the Bible, whatever it may be, 9 out of 10 of your youth are sitting there saying, no such thing as truth. True for you, but not for me. Doesn't apply to me. Okay, most of the youth are saying that now. So when I am speaking at youth retreats to generation 40 and younger now, I have to start, we often have to start here. Does truth exist and what is truth? Okay, often we've got to start right here because the vast majority in the church do not believe there's such thing as absolute truth. All right? And that is a very dangerous ideology. Okay? C.S. Lewis, the man who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, said this in his book, The Poison of Subjectivism. He said, "Relativism will certainly end our species and damn our souls." Okay? Philosopher Peter Kreft said this, "There has never been a society of relativists. Therefore, our society will do one of three things. Either disprove one of the most universally established laws of all history, or repent of its relativism and survive, or persist in its relativism and perish." Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a very dangerous ideology that really has serious consequences to any culture or society that's going to buy into it. Okay, now, relativism fails, okay? Here's several reasons why this ideology cannot be true, all right? First, it's built on a naturalist worldview, okay? That God does not exist and that truth finds its origin in man. Well, the evidence shows contrary that indeed we live in a theistic universe, okay? A God does exist. And therefore, truth is rooted in God, and we're created in his image to know and to discover and live according to truth. Okay, so it's built on the wrong worldview. Okay, it's built on a worldview where man is the measure. Okay, and if God did not exist, relativism would be true. All right, but the evidence shows God does exist and truth originates with God and not man. Language is not a man-invented construct. Language actually originates with God. Okay? It's his vehicle for which he ordained to communicate truth. Okay? John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God." Okay? The Logos. Okay, so language originates with God, and it's though fallen, it is still his vehicle through which he communicates truth. Okay, when I was, where was I? Oh, University of North Carolina. I was speaking, and a PhD student stood up, and he said, I forgot what I was speaking on. Oh, I think the resurrection. And when I was done, he said, "That's great, but there's no such thing as truth." I said, "Really? There's no such thing as truth?" He said, "Yeah, no such thing as truth." I said, "That a true statement you just made?" And he kind of looked back and he said, "Well, language cannot communicate truth." I said, "What do you mean language can?" He said, "Language cannot, blue, what do you mean by blue? Light blue, dark blue? Language cannot communicate truth." I said, "Language cannot communicate truth." He said, "Yeah, language cannot communicate truth. What do you mean by blue? What do you mean by red? Bright red, dark red? What do you mean by red?" I said, "Language cannot communicate truth." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Language cannot communicate." He said, "Yes, that's what I said. Language." I said, "Is that a true statement you just made? Language cannot communicate truth." Anything bad? I said, and he said, "Well," I said, "you just use language to communicate truth." And he said, "Well, okay, parts of it are true." I said, "Okay, language cannot communicate truth. Which one of those four words is not correct?" You know, and he just said, "Well, what is blue? What is blue?" And I said, "Well, you know, you ought to know what is blue, right? It's the one that's not absorbed. It's the ones that reflect, right? And things." And he said, "Well, what is cold? What is cold? Is 32 degrees cold? Is 40 degrees cold? What is cold?" Yeah. all that. And I said, "Well, okay, you have to have a central, you know, point of referral, okay? But besides that, okay, you just contradicted your own premise. You're using language to communicate truth. Okay, then it got real interesting. He said, well, words have no meaning. I said, words have no meaning. He goes, yeah. He goes, words have no meaning. They're just social constructs. I said, so what you just told me has no meaning. And he said, well, okay. He said, how do you interpret then? How do you interpret anything? And I said, well, you just use the basic laws of interpretation, okay, or the basic laws of hermeneutics, term, structure, literary form. He said, well, why is that the rules for interpretation? I said, those are universal rules we use all over the world. Okay, we communicate using words in a sentence structure in a literary form. And he said, well, why should I accept your rules of interpretation? I said, okay, communicate to me. Don't use words in a sentence structure in a literary form. I want you to communicate to me now. I don't care what language you communicate to me. Communicate. But don't use words. And he went, well, you know, I said, you're using words in a sentence structure in a literary form. You can't do that. You told me, okay, that we don't, you know. So how do we communicate? I said, okay, well, thank you. All right, let's move on, okay? He was trying to somehow prove the point, language cannot communicate truth, and really having trouble doing that, okay? But he was contradicting himself the whole time, okay? But that's the argument you hear on the university campus all the time, okay? I was talking to a PhD student in linguistics. Yeah, linguistics. And her whole premise, her whole PhD was that language cannot communicate truth. And so what can language communicate is her PhD. And she was a Christian. And I said, well, okay, so I said, as a Christian, where does language find its origin? And she said, well, in man. Man created language. And I said, well, if God exists, language originates with God. That's his vehicle to communicate truth. And truth originates with God. So though fallen and sometimes imprecise, language can communicate truth. Maybe not perfectly, but it can. And she thought about it for a while. And she said, it contradicts my doctoral dissertation. I said, it would, wouldn't it? And so eventually she stopped her dissertation and is out of that department right now, okay? So if God exists, it changes the whole ball game, okay? Relativism is self-defeating. To say there's no such thing as truth is what? A statement of truth, right? To say there's no such thing as absolute truth is an absolute truth statement, okay? To say language cannot communicate truth is using language to communicate truth, okay? So it is what we call self-defeating, okay? It's like saying, I cannot speak a word in English, all right? In other words, I've contradicted the very point I'm trying to make, all right? It's self-defeating. Truth exists. It's undeniable. To say there's no such thing as truth is a statement of truth. All right? It exists. It's undeniable. Okay? Say there are no absolutes is an absolute. All right? Contradictory statements we know cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. Okay, this is called Aristotle's law of non-contradiction. It's the basis of all thinking. Okay, unfortunately, I never learned this until graduate school. All right? But opposites cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. Okay, contradiction is always a sign of error. All right? We apply this law every single day, right? You cannot have coherent language unless you apply this law every single day, right? If you came up to me and said, Pat, it's Thursday. Are you going to teach tonight? I said, yeah, I'm teaching, but I'm not. You showing up at Oahu
you know, West Oahu? Yeah, I'll be there, but I won't be there. Right? I mean, you can't even have coherent language without applying this law. We apply this law every single day. It's the basis. It's the first principle of thought, of communication. You can't even communicate without this. Okay? All right, so contradictory truths cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. If one of them is right, the other is wrong. Okay, both these statements cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. How do we know which one is right or which one is wrong? Well, which one corresponds to reality? Okay? Okay, both these statements cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. If Billy Graham is right, then the atheist Madeleine O'Hare would be wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. Relativism fails the test of practice. No one, not even the relativist, okay, can live out this philosophy. There's no such thing as truth. True for me, but not for you. Okay? We demand absolute truth in all these arenas, okay? If you went up at the grocery store and your bill was $50 and you gave her a $100 bill and she gave you $10, what would you do? You say, hey, you shortchanged me. And if she said, well, it's all relative. True for you, but not for me. You'd call the manager in a second, right? If... You know, you went to your pharmacist and said, okay, what medication do I need and how much do I take? And he said, oh, take whatever you want. You know, up to you. Yeah, you'd fire that guy in a minute, okay? There's a big difference, right, between bear and rat poison, right? I mean, there's a big difference here, okay? Advertising, okay? If you went to Macy's and they said, hey, 50% off the inventory and you go there, and, you know, you get 10% off. Well, what you gonna do? You're gonna sit there and say, your ad said this. Okay, and if they say, well, it's all relative. I mean, you'd protest immediately, okay? Even the relativists can't live out their own position, okay? It's unlivable, all right? So it fails the test of corresponding to reality. It fails the test of livability. It's self-contradictory. Okay, and all that, relativism is a failed ideology. Okay? Any questions so far on what we've covered? Okay, it's time for a break. Come back in 10 minutes, and then we're going to finish off on truth and how to deal with relativists. Okay? All right, let's take a break.